Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about bias, a Wikipedia reading. Now, bias is sort of like the central thing that science is trying to get away. Sort of bias is sort of a comfortable truth that everyone has, and from very early on the birth of modern science, you had Francis Bacon talk about the four idols, these four sort of biases. He thought that science is actually a study, a flight from bias. And so as scientists, you don't think bad of people with bias. You just know that this is a tray of human of the human soul, somehow to speak, that you have to at one point set aside but return to eventually, to be a fully soulful person, fully spiritual person, I suppose, has to be a bit biased, but we have to read into it. Now, like many of these things, like the countries of the world or any topic, it just bears well to have a deep reading in Wikipedia, I suppose, is one point. It's one sort of stick you put into this pond of knowledge, and you can pull out a lot of things because it's contributed by a lot of people very recently. And in general, you know quite well because you don't trust the source, you decide to look at it. So let's look at the word bias, spelt B-I-A-S. Bias is a disproportionate weight in favour or against an idea or a thing, usually in a way that is closed-minded, prejudicial and unfair. Well, I perhaps wouldn't say that. I would say that bias is something that if you use it, it will produce predictions different from what will happen in the future. Or if it is if you have a certain bias in your system, you'll produce different results depending on what that bias is. So if you're bias against employing women, you'll find out that you'll have a system of excuses and thinking which leads to that reality. So your bias against women, you'll have confirmation, a bias from it here. I have pictures here of the moon, which I rather like. Go into it a bit more. But they have a picture of five pictures of the moon showing a man, a rabbit in the moon, several faces, and a woman on the moon. I haven't seen that before. I'm not that depraved, but they have the very famous crater as a necklace around this woman in the womb. It's sort of a bit, I suppose, men are programmed to see women everywhere, I suppose. Okay, biases can be innate or learned. Now, I think there is this an innate truth bias in terms of or believing other people. And so when people play game theory and trick other people, they're exploiting an innate goodwill in people. People may develop biases for and against an individual, a group, or a belief. In science and engineering, a bias is a systematic error. Well, and that's pretty well close to it. So a systematic, you get a random error and a systematic error. So random errors inside systematic errors, and that's due to calibrations and various things. Statistical bias results from unfair sampling of a population or an estimation process that does not give accurate results on average. And that's getting a bit closer. So this is true for Wikipedia in terms of that it's not an authoritative book. It's just an assembly of ideas which are not all that good. Now, thank goodness we have not got the etymology. The word appears to derive from old provincial and old French bias. Well, there is etymology. Sideways askance against the grain. Whence comes French bias, a slant in a slope or oblique? It seems to have entered English via the game of bowls, where it's referred to a balls made of greater weight on one side, which expanded into figurative use a one-sided tendency of the mind, especially the law of undue propensity or prejudice. Sorry, in law. Okay, now there are types of biases. Now, this is really what you have to go into, and I've got just countless biases which I've come across, but I don't know where this, and it's an alphabetical order, so this is what you have to go. Cognitive bias. Oh, this is a subsection of cognitive thinking bias. So it's in alphabetical order of areas, and within that area is alphabetical a second time. A cognitive bias is a repeating or basic misstep in thinking, assessing, recollecting, or other cognitive processes. That is, a pattern of deviation from standards in judgment, whereby influences may be created unreasonably. Yeah, it's really interesting that depends what you're thinking. And it's interesting that the way you think about things are not mathematical. So you can be in a social situation, but people are mathematically beautiful when it comes to food. People create their own subjective social reality from their own perceptions. Their view of the world may dictate their behavior. So this is one of the things I cognitively have to do, is actually step back and always test your thinking. Say, well, is that my path of thinking? Well, if that wasn't so, would I still attribute it? You know, would I still form a simulation to do it? I think people have got poor control over the significance of things, that they want to have an artificial significance. There's a significance bias, I think. A significance bias which leads... This is the mother of all biases, I would say. Thus, cognitive biases may sometimes lead to perceptual distortions, inaccurate judgments, illogical interpretations, or what would be broadly called irrationality. However, some cognitive biases are taken to be adaptive, and thus may lead to success in appropriate situations. Yeah, basically, I think that this, if you look at people being mean and arseholes, that they are just a system of unacceptable biases which they have power to enforce, and the power not to see. You need sort of this, the bias. You need several things to get a bias in full swing. You need the inability to communicate, the inability to reflect, and the inability to moderate. You need all those three things all in things. So if you can't communicate, you can't tell someone they're biased. If they can't reflect, they can't then process what they've been told and process the game. And then if they can't adapt, they're stuck in their bias. Sort of they're lost. They're a prisoner of their own stupid thinking. Furthermore, cognitive biases may allow speedier choices when speed is more valuable than precision, or when it's more valuable for me to take and hurt and profit and enjoy. You know, it's a big expense of being evil to actually think about it. Cognitive biases are a byproduct of human processing limitations, coming about because of the absence of appropriate mental mechanisms, or just from human limitations in information processing. So, I actually say that when you're looking at ethics is outcome. So ethics, if you don't have maths, you don't have probability, and if you don't have science, you have no mechanism to go through. So this is the whole thing, is that science is not all about building a better iPhone. Science is actually about living a higher quality of life. Okay, we're going through the alphabetical things under cognitive biases. Anchoring. Okay. Anchoring is psychological heuristics that describes the propensity to rely on the first piece of information encountered when making decisions. I couldn't say that's so amazing. According to this heuristic, individuals begin with an implicitly suggested reference point, the anchor, and make judgments to it to react to their estimate. For example, the initial price offered for a used car sets the standard for the rest of negotiations, so prices lower than the initial price seem more reasonable, even if they're still higher than what the car is worth. Look, there's just so many anchoring. Now, the entire thing is that people, I think, also included in there is the fact that you are locked into a negotiation, and people get very stressed about walking away from negotiations, considering and stuff like that. And they say, well, you're going to miss out because there's a whole heap of people not negotiating. It's pretty amazing. So anchoring. So this is where your first piece of information comes in. And it's, yeah, I suppose it could also be, you know, women have a lot, oh, I shouldn't say that, but social situations when you first meet someone, getting to know them very quickly is great. You're a great social person, but you may be someone who anchors everything around you. You know, you anchor everything around you by being very socially and flighty, and you wind up to have a harbour full of ships all with big anchors on them. Okay, apophenia. Apophenia is known as patternicity, or agenicity, the human tendency to perceive meaningful patterns in random data. Isn't that just one thing? Isn't that just, you know, we've got all gambling on that. Aphenia is is documented as rationalization for gambling. I initially say, isn't that the most amazing thing? Gambling, and people want to flutter and gamble, but you know, people gamble on the stock exchange and stuff like that. Gamblers may imagine that they see patterns in numbers which appear in lotteries, card games, or roulette wheels. One manifestation is known as the gambler's fallacy, and one would say that the person doesn't do a control blind experiment. The control blind experiment should be basically like brushing your teeth or washing your hands or cleaning or doing anything. It's the basic mental hygiene, double blind. Pareidolia is the visual auditory form of aphenia. It's been suggested that pareidolia combined with hierophany may be helped ancient societies organize chaos and make the worlds intelligible. I would definitely say it's got the music of language and stuff like that, especially adding music to things sets your bias and stuff like that. Okay, well that's a key bias, and it's a bias that, you know, people who have turned their back on science, you know, had a bad experience in the lab with the teacher shouting at them in Form 3 or whatever it is, it's so, so crucial. They turn their back on science and they can be a truly evil person for the rest of their life. Excellent. It's hard to be... I would say it's hard to be an evil scientist. An evil scientist, it's in the comic books. And I've encountered some stuffed up ones. I've encountered a really stuffed up person. Attribution bias. The attribution bias can happen when individuals assess or attempt to discover explanations behind their own and others' behaviours. People make attributions about the causes of their own behaviours and others' behaviours, but these attributions don't necessarily precisely reflect reality. So, this is the whole thing. You say, why did I do something? And would I have come to the same thing if I reversed the logic of a few steps and other things like that? And then also is to not get too caught up in why other people do things. Okay. Rather than operating as objective perceivers, individuals are inclined to perceptual slips that prompt biased understandings of their social world. Look, I would definitely say that. I suffer a lot of people doing that for me. When judging others, we tend to assume that actions are a result of internal factors such as personality, whereas we tend to assume our own social actions arise because of our necessity or external circumstances. Very interesting for me, having had the stroke and brain things, that you know people have made a whole series of personality traits about me. Say if I had forgotten to do something, and they would think that I'm heartless and mean, but no, indeed, brain scans show that I've simply forgotten to do it. And then when I re-remember it, it's, am I making excuses? Or if I suddenly get an intense smell, am I making a comment to make other people feel uncomfortable? Okay, there are a wide range of sorts of attribution biases, such as ultimate attribution error, fundamental attribution error, actor-observer bias, and self-serving bias. Isn't that beautiful? That is so important. An example of attribution bias. So within attribution bias, there are these, and these are, so within cognitive biases, there's attribution bias, and within attribution bias, there is confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is the tendency to search for, interpret, favour, and recall information in ways that confirms one's beliefs or hypotheses, while giving disproportionately less attention to information that contradicts it. So this is why, if you can get a bit of space, put up your things and say, would I have made the same conclusion if that piece of information is reversed? Or how critical is that? Or how do I attribute that? It's pretty amazing. The effect is stronger for emotionally charged issues and for deeply entrenched beliefs. People are also intend to interpret ambiguous evidence as supporting their existing position. Absolutely. Based bias search, interpretation, and memory have been invoked to explain attitude polarization when disagreements become more extreme, even though the different parties are exposed to the same evidence. Isn't that absolute proof that if you provide the same evidence to different people and they come up with different conclusions, that is, there's a certain amount of, gets you angles on the evidence, but it tells you that your bias is your set coming forward. And so therefore, rather than trying to remove bias, you try to integrate bias, I would expect to go through. Belief perseverance, when beliefs persist after the evidence for them is shown to be false. And there's some incredible examples of that one. That their belief is so much that it actually destroys the rest of the world. Irrational primacy effect. A greater reliance on information encountered early in a series. Isn't that amazing? That is so true. And this is the fact that people just simply do not do. They're lazy thinkers. They don't do enough thinking about situations and people. And you'd say, well, what is the benefit of doing it? There's no cost benefit for thinking about people and situations. It's just the benefit may be little, but the cost of not doing it is just enormous. So you can imagine that there's no benefit about thinking deeply about a little person, a little situation. But the cost of not doing it can lead to murder, disagreement and stuff like that, like a thought. The illusory correlation, when people falsely perceive an association between two events or situations. So I do have examples of that. I think I do have people who have... I won't go into it. Confirmation bias contributes to overconfidence in personal beliefs and can maintain or strengthen beliefs in the face of contrary evidence. Poor decisions due to these biases have been found in political and organizational contexts. Absolutely. So it's not just an individual. A whole organisation can be set up, particularly if you can employ people who agree with a particular point of view, and therefore you can say that point of view is so important that I can actually eliminate not only a contrary point of view, but a person with a contrary point of view. It becomes imperative. You know, you've got entire wars based on this framing. So this is under attribution bias, framing. Framing involves the social construction or social phenomena by mass media sources, political or social movements, political leaders, and so on. Now, this is perhaps interesting in that I can actually, here's an alternative view, here's an alternative structure, and which is for me building social robots which will replace teachers, which I'll eventually do that, but this is the reframing. So it's such an important thing, and it's also such an important thing that say we've got the COVID data and there's a way to actually promote it, but the politicians put all the effort into framing to create a bias towards them. It is an influence over how people organise, perceive and communicate about reality. See, well, that's true. It can be positive or negative depending on the audience and what kind of information is being presented. For political purposes, framing often represents facts in such a way that implicates a problem that is in need of solution. COVID data standing in front of flags and just reporting what other people have done to fight COVID and saying we now have to solve a whole lot of other things. I think we're really into the biggest whirlwind of this. Members of political parties attempt to frame situation issues in ways that makes a solution favouring their own political leaning appear to be the most appropriate course of action for the situation at hand. As understood in social theory, framing is a schema of interpretation, a collection of antidotes and stereotypes that individuals rely on to understand and respond to events. Absolutely. So you often not all politicians, but some, you listen to them and you hear, oh, that's interesting, you're putting yourself up there. Oh, you're putting that group down there. You're making a joke about this person or that group, so you can feel good about it. It's sort of pretty amazing. You hear these stereotypes, it's amazing to hear it. People use filters to make sense of the world, and choices they then make are influenced by their creation of framing. So if you put that back in, because with confirmation bias, framing is powerful. Cultural bias is related to the phenomenon of interpreting and judging phenomena by standards inherent to one's own culture. Numerous such biases exist concerning cultural norms of colour, location of body parts, mate selection, concept of justice, linguistic and logical validity, acceptability of evidence, and taboos. Ordinary people may tend to imagine other peoples as basically the same, not significantly more or less variable. Probability attached emotionally to different groups and different land. Absolutely. Okay. So, getting on to page 3. There's a bit of wind here out in Australia, so I don't know what's going to happen. Beautiful and sunny, but lovely clouds above. Okay, the halo effect and the horn effect. I wonder if that's going to be the thing. Now, this is under cognitive biases. So we've had something or other and framing. This is, I can't even remember. What's it? Okay, attribution, confirmation bias and framing bias. So aprophenia is basically gambling. Some gambling is an example of to encourage gambling to it is unlikely, I would say, and this is a prejudice, but this is a speculation. So you've got a problem now in that for induction, you have to make conjectures and then examine the truth and the bias in that conjecture. My conjecture is that I would imagine that gamblers could be relatively selfish people. The halo effect and the horn effect are the observer's overall impression of a person, organisation, brand, product or influences, and their feelings about specifics of that entity, character or properties. And essentially, I think the halo and horn effect is you've got to really recognise that it does damage to yourself rather than anybody else. The name halo effect is based on the concept of a saint's halo on the specific type of confirmation bias, wherein positive sentiments in one area cause questionable or unknown characteristics to be seen positively. If the observer likes one aspect of something, there will be positive disposition to everything about it. A person's appearance may be found to produce a halo effect. The halo effect is also present in the field of brand marketing, affecting perceptions of companies, non-government organisations. The opposite of the halo effect is the horn effect, when individuals believe that negative traits are interconnected. The term to horn effects are the devil's horns. It works in a negative direction. If the observer dislikes one aspect of something, they will have a negative predisposition towards all other aspects. Now, I would say that if you have a mock amateur psychologist runs amok with that. So this is like Clayton. Oh, I don't know. I can't really talk about that. However, you can see that these people at work setting up the horn effects, and then it means that people who get sucked into it believe all things bad things. Both these biases effects often clash with phrases such as words meaning something, or your words have a history. I don't know what that means. Self-serving bias. Well, I couldn't imagine a bias which could survive which isn't self-serving. Self-serving bias is a tendency for cognitive or perceptual processes to be distorted by the individual's need to maintain and help enhance self-esteem. So, fig jam, fuck, I'm great, just ask me. It is the propensity to credit accomplishments to our own capabilities and endeavours, yet attribute failures to outside factors. That is, self-serving bias, I think, is the fundamental bias as a man. Your pattern. Have you had enough self-serving bias? Pat on the back, drink this beer. Okay. To dismiss the legitimacy of negative criticism, concentrate on positive qualities and accomplishment, yet disregard flaws and failures. Studies have demonstrated that this bias can affect behaviour in the workplace, interpersonal relationships, playing sports, and consumer decisions. Isn't that amazing? Status quo bias. Status quo is a bias, is an emotional bias, a preference for the current state of affairs. The current bias baseline, or status quo, is taken as a reference point, as any change to baseline is perceived as a loss. Status quo bias should be distinguished from rational preference for the status quo ante, as well as the current state of affairs is objectively superior to available alternatives, or when imperfect information is a significant problem. A large body of evidence, however, shows the status quo bias as frequently affects human decision making. So this, but also there's the that bias we had before for taking the first bits of information to disproportionately work on first impressions, sort of like pride and prejudice. Now there's another area called conflicts of interest. So that was cognitive bias. This is conflicts of interest. A conflict of interest is when a person or association has intersecting interests, financial, personal, which could potentially corrupt. The potential conflict is autonomous or actual improper actions. It can be found and intentionally diffused before corruption or the appearance of corruption happens. A conflict of interest is a set of circumstances that create a risk of professional judgment or actions regarding to the primary interest will be unduly influenced by secondary interests. It exists in the circumstances are sensibly accepted at present. as a hazard, a choice making, an unduly affected auxiliary interest, or of auxiliary interest. The other aspect is that a open book. You need open book accounting when you're doing the quality control of decision making, and so part of quality control is quality of people going through, you know, the structures and things like that. Also, to remove conflict of interest, the division of powers. But let's listen to this. So this is fundamentally different in terms of this is internal. Halo and self-serving is internal viewpoints. These are external quality systems looking here. So the first one is bribery. Is giving money, goods, or other forms of for recompense in order to influence the recipient's behaviour. And so I think there's sort of bribery of corruption bribery. There's a corruption exchange where someone puts out a feeler, a little bit of corruption behaviour, and relies on a good person saying, well, I'm not going to have involved with that. You know, just shut that down. But someone else who will remain quiet and actually groom corruption, that'll allow this corruption. And so you will bribe your way in by being corrupt. I wonder if that comes through. I sort of know exactly what I'm speaking, having worked in quite corrupt organisations. Bribery is... Okay. Bribes can include money, goods, rights in action, property, privilege, annulment, gifts, perks, skimming, return favours, so that's what I think, discounts, sweetheart deals, kickbacks, funding donations, campaign contributions, sponsorships, stock options, secret commissions or promotions. Expectations of when a monetary transaction is appropriate can differ from place to place. Political campaign contributions in the form of cash are considered criminal acts of bribery in some countries, while in the United States they are legally, provided they adhere to election law. Tipping is considered bribery in some societies, but not others. And then essentially in Australia, tipping is... it's got a real angst associated with it. I remember I was put under pressure. I left a tip up here in Glenbrook Village once, and the girl ran after me saying, "You left the money there." And I said, "Well, thanks." You just have to be in Australia to understand that. But then I was told that the tip. You can imagine the interpretations that the horn effect. And stuff like that. That tip wasn't enough, and the girl was trying to insult you. I don't think so. So, a girl, a waiter. Okay, that's bribery. Favoritism, sometimes known as in-group favoritism or in-group bias, refers to a pattern of favoring members of one's group of the out-group members. This can be expressed in evaluation of others, in allocation of resources, and in many other ways. This has been researched by psychologists and special social psychologists and linked to group conflict and prejudice. Cronyism is favoritism of long-standing friends, especially by appointing them to positions of authority, regardless of the qualification. Nepotism is favoritism granted to relatives. Now, one would have to say that that one could, the way one cannot, cronyism can be evaluated by a computer, a network computer, just looking at how people are networked and interconnected. In an organisation, you could get an organisation, cut it from different dates, different times, different industries, get parameters up, and you could get a number of cronyism, and it is as part of this cronyism, you have to have a certain dash of stupidity to make it all work, and then there's wondering out why are we so ineffective. That's just the most amazing thing. Okay, lobbying is an attempt to influence choices made by administrators, frequently lawmakers, individuals from administrative agencies. Lobbyists may be among legislators' constituents or not. They may engage in lobbying for a business or not. Lobbying or not. I love it. I remember the thing is, I sort of remember back in army, so-and-so will... So who was sort of an informal statement of what's going on. And the person would click the heels or march away. And some bright spark would stand up and just say, or not, depending on the circumstances. Brilliant. Okay. Lobbying is often spoken with contempt. The implication is that people with inordinate socio-economic power are corrupting the law in order to serve their own interests. Never. When people who have had a duty to act on behalf of others, such as elected officials with the duty to serve the constituents' interests or more broadly the common good, stand to benefit by shaping the law to serve the interests of some private parties. I don't understand, but I mean, Glenbrook is going to be underneath a flight path, you know, and the lobbying is just obscene. It makes a mockery of everything Australia has done. It, you know, the Aussies fighting Gallipoli, Kokoda Trail, all, you know, the efforts that everyone's done to get along together, and at the end of the day, when we're all exhausted, we just keep on chucking away and developing. It's awful. Okay. And this is really interesting that if you want representation, well, good luck on you. Good luck. Okay. And this can lead to all sides in a debate looking to sway the issue by the means of lobbyists. And this is the whole theme. And of course, this means that people can only think in terms of lobbying rather than actual creative writing. Regulatory issues. So this is conflicts of interest. Self-regulation is a process whereby organisations monitor their own adherence to legal, ethical and safety standards rather than have an outside independent agency, such as a third-party entity, monitor and enforce those standards. Yep. So one has to say, it's getting on the level of an oxymoron, that if you have the belief that you can self-regulate and don't come to the conclusion that you want an arm's length process, it has to be fraudulent. Unless people are just so not interested in you that you have to, you wind up, oh bloody hell, I can't be inspected. But you want to organise a way of, like, signing on a bank account, meetings, some sort of ways. If any organisation, self-regulation of any group can create a conflict of interest. If any organisation, such as a corporation or government bureaucracy, is asked to eliminate unethical behaviour within their own group, it may be their interest in the short run to eliminate the appearance of unethical behaviour rather than the behaviour itself. Well, amazing. Regulatory capture is a form of political corruption that can occur when regulatory agency created to act in the public interest instead advances commercial and political concerns of special interest groups that dominate the industry or sector. It is charged with regulating. Regulatory capture occurs because groups and individuals with a... I bet it's going to say agenda. Let's see if it's agenda. Oh, no. A high stakes interest in the outcomes of political regulatory decisions can be expected to focus their resources. Their resources and energies in attempting to gain policy outcomes they prefer. While members of the public, each with only a tiny individual stake in the outcome, will be ignored altogether. Regulatory capture is a risk to which a regulatory agency is exposed by its very nature. Isn't that true? I don't think anyone actually knows. If I said to someone, oh, I'm concerned about regulatory capture, they'd just... Okay, let's read the next one. Shilling. Shilling is deliberately giving spectators a feeling that one That one is in an energetic autonomous client and vendor for whom one is working. The effectiveness of shilling relies on crowd psychology to encourage onlookers or audience members to purchase the goods or services or accept the ideas being marketed. Shilling is illegal in some places, but legal in others. An example of shilling is paid reviews that give the impression of being autonomous opinions. Well, I mean, obviously, talk about advertising is, you know, sort of bias. I think the thing is that we need sufficient education to educate people about it. You need information, and you're going to get information with bias, and it has to be entertaining, and essentially you have to be knowledgeable. But there is this fundamental thing. But I think actually people give shilling is in the corruption I've seen. It's sort of almost that they almost do shilling about corruption. Statistical biases. So we've had cognitive biases and these other previous biases, which are conflict of interest. Cognitive and conflict, it doesn't really go together. But statistical biases. Statistical bias is a systematic tendency to process data collection which results in lopsided, misleading results. And, of course, the fundamental basis is that a statistician can pull out a number and tell you what it is. Yeah. But people who aren't trained in maths and don't value scientists and don't value mathematicians will be forever beholden to, they try and fix a bias with other biases. It's amazing. This result can occur in any number of ways. Oh dear, well surely you can actually, if that sounds like a statistical thing, a number of ways. In the way the sample is selected or the data is collected. It is a property of statistical technique or a result whereby the expected value is the result that differs from the underlying qualitative parameter being estimated. And that's what I would say. But then we have that initial one, the A proof something or other. The very first bias we came across is people's ability to pretend to be statisticians. And you really have to be prepared to be a statistician. But then basically gambling is this massive industry of failed statisticians. Forecast bias. A forecast bias is when the consistent differences between results and forecasts of those quantities is, that is, forecasts that may have an overall tendency to be too high or too low. That's why you have to have sort of review. You just can't go, what do you think is going to happen? Do you find out, you know, how's your track record, mate? Okay, observer expectancy effect. The observer expectancy effect is when a researcher's expectations cause them to subconsciously influence the people participating in the experiment. It is usually controlled by a double-blind system. Blood oath. In fact, if you're not doing double-blind things, tell us about it. Tell us about how you're doing something better than double-blind, and we will build a temple to you. If you can shortcut the agony of doing a double-blind system and believe you can do it, tell us about it. And was an important reason for the development of double-blind experiments. And you've got Benjamin Franklin and Mesmer, the person who thought his magnet was actually curing people. His magnet fell off the wand, so it was him. And then it took Benjamin Franklin to come in and do a double-blind, very first a double-blind effect. So it's pretty amazing how, yeah, and the bottom line is that perhaps it's good that we've taken this long to get in there, the observer expectancy effect, because if we'd really had true dinky-die scientists to start off with, we would never have got religion off the ground. Reporting bias and social desirability biases. In epidemiology and empirical research, reporting bias is defined as selective revealing or suppression of information of undesirable behaviour or subjects. Or researchers. I would say this, I'm getting a reporting bias in social discussions in Glenbrook. It refers to the tendency to underreport unexpected or undesirable experimental results, i.e. getting rid of the outlier, get rid of the outlier. You don't have to work out what it means. You just have to know that that's what scientists do. How stupid is that? Getting rid of the outlier. It's just like, it's an outlier. Statistically, we know there's outliers. Yep, let's go. Let's do it. Okay. While being more trusting, expected desirable results. Thus, this can propagate as instances reinforce the status quo. And the latter experiments justify their own reporting bias by observing that previously experiments reported different results. Social desirability bias is a bias within social science research, where survey response can tend to answer questions in a manner that will be viewed positively by others. This is why you look at this is in military psychology. They were not looking for the actual result. They were looking at the pattern of inconsistency. They were looking at more the standard deviation in your results, asking the same questions overall. Okay. It can take the form of overreporting laudable behaviour and underreporting undesirable behaviour. Seems like a school annual report. The bias interferes with the interpretation of average tendencies as well as individual differences. The implication represents a major issue with self-report questionnaires are of special concern. Self-reports, abilities, personality, sexual behaviour and drug use. Yeah, I think there's going to be assessment here. This is statistical biases. I don't know if... I think prejudice is going to be here. Selection bias. Selection bias is the conscious and unconscious bias introduced into a study by the way individuals, groups, or data are selected for analysis. If such a way means that true randomization is not achieved, thereby ensuring that a sample obtained... predictions. God, they're just complete. Well, some have argued that these claims are based on anecdotal evidence and would not be reliably indicate systematic bias, and suggested that this divide came due to self-selection of conservatives choosing not to pursue academic careers. There is some perception of classroom bias that may be rooted in issues of sexuality, race, class, and sex, again, sexuality and sex, as much as more than in religion. Experimental bias. In science research, experimental bias occurs when the experimental experiences regarding studies results in bias in research outcomes. Examples of experimental bias may include financial sponsor. This phenomenon is recognized sufficiently that researchers undertake studies to examine bias in past published studies, metadata. is debated or not, depending on if they're completely totalitarian. There are also watchdog groups that report on media bias, hopefully report in a fair and open way. Okay, coming to the last page here. Practical limitations to media neutrality include the inability of journalists to report all available stories and facts, the requirement that selected facts be linked to coherent narrative. There you go. Yeah, this is you can only so much grated cheese into an omelette, I suppose. Government influences, including overt and covert censorship, the influence of owners of news sources, concentration of ownership, selection of staff, preferences, intended audience, and pressures from advertisers. I don't know. It's just that the economics of this is changing so rapidly. But you see, America, media is destroying them. Bias has been a feature of mass media since the birth and invention of the printing press. The expense of early printing equipment restricted media production to a limited number of people. Historians have found that publishers often serve the interests of powerful social groups, whereas a publisher for a complete loser wouldn't get in. Okay, there's agenda setting. Agenda setting describes the capacity of media to focus on particular stories. If the news item is covered frequently and prominently, the audience will regard the issue as more important. That is, the salience will increase. Gatekeeping is the way in which information or news is filtered to the public by each person and corporation along the way. It is the process of culling and crafting countless bits of information into a limited number of messages that reach people every day. And it is either the media's role in the modern public life, the processes determine not only which information is selected, but also what the content and nature of the message is, such as the news will be. Really interesting now, obviously, social media, but also data analysis. This new breed of data analyzers, freelance data analyzers, sensationalism. This sounds like Glenn Book gossip to me, but sensationalism is when events and topics and news stories or pieces are overhyped to present skewed impressions of events, such as may cause misinterpretation of the truth of the story. Sensationalism may involve reporting about insignificant matters or events, or the presentation of newsworthy topics in the trivial or tabloid manner, contrary to the standards of professional journalism. Okay, now in contextual, they've got other contexts besides law enforcement. I don't know how media, I think they missed out a list here. And this is it. Educational bias. Bias in education refers to real or perceived bias in the education system. And of course, how they cannot measure this, how they cannot measure it, you know, how you cannot just give me the books, you give me books and I'll give you a number of your cronyism. Yeah, I don't know how. The content and the amazing aspect of this is that we do studies and we do external testing system and then we do internal tests and we get their ability versus the marks, and they're different. So, isn't that a form of bias? Okay. The content of school textbooks is often the issue of debate, as their target audience is young people, and the term whitewashing is used to refer to selective removal of critical damaging evidence or comment. Religious bias in textbooks is observed in countries where religious plays a dominant role. There can be many forms of educational bias, some overlooked aspects occurring especially in the pedagogical circles of public and private schools. Sources are unrelated to fiduciary or mercantile impoverishment, which may unduly be magnified, include teacher bias as well as general bias against women who are going into STEM research. I don't think... Oh, well, I think... Yeah, I think STEM is important. It's just we're missing the point that some of these teachers are so just just unstem that you, they can't even, it's sort of like asking someone with no legs to do ballet, asking a teacher to promote STEM. Inductive bias. Inductive bias occurs in the field of machine learning. In machine learning, one seeks to develop algorithms that are able to learn to anticipate a particular output. To accomplish this, the learning algorithm is given training cases that show the expected connection. Then the learner is tested with new examples. Without further assumptions, this problem cannot be solved exactly, as unknown situations may be unpredictable. The inductive bias of learning algorithm is a set of assumptions that the learner uses to predict the outputs given inputs is not encountered. It may be biased of the learner towards a correct solution or incorrect, or be correct some of the time. A classical example of inductive bias is Occam's razor, which assumes the simplest consistent hypothesis is the best. Certainly, Occam's razor is definitely the best for a radio program. You don't want something anything complicated. And we have a science program called Occam's razor. And it's really interesting. I really wish I could read into Occam and see it. But it's really interesting that this really gets down into the science is born from the broth of ideas around the Middle Ages, forged together, sort of Frankenstein child in the Renaissance, Galileo and stuff like that, and just having horrendous barnies, killing lots of people along the way. Okay, now, insider trading. So this is I can't fit into my article, don't know where to go. Insider trading is the trading of public company stock and other securities by individuals with access to non-public information about the company. In various countries, trading based on insider information is illegal because it's seen as unfair to investors who do not have access to the information, as an investor with insider information could potentially make far larger profits than a typical investor should be. It's sort of like the entire thing. What I suppose what is most frightening is that the person doing insider trading thinks at the end of the day that they're better. Sort of like the cronyism at the end of the day, when it's all sorted and dead and everyone's in jail, you say, that person actually thought they were clever by being a crony. They thought that they were actually better contributing to society by being an insider trading. Match fixing. In organized sport, match fixing occurs when the match is played to completely or partially predetermined results, violating the rules of the game and often the law. There are a variety for reasons of this, but most common is the exchange of payoffs to gamblers. So this is like, I sort of do like this, because gambling is a bias, and now we are biased about having a good non-biased bias. Players might also intentionally perform poorly to get advantage in future, such as being a better draft pick or easier opponent in the playoff. To rig a handicap system, match fixing generally refers to fixing the final result of a game. Another form of match fixing, known as spot fixing, involves fixing small events within a match which can be gambled upon, but which are unlikely to prove decisive in determining the game's final result. Implicit bias. Implicit bias, or implicit stereotype, is the unconscious attribution of particular qualities to a member of a certain social group. Implicit stereotypes are shaped by experience and based on learned association between particular quantities and social categories. Or I should say, I should be a card-carrying autistic person. I don't pick up on the implicit, in-your-face things that gives other people implicit biases, including race and or gender. Individuals' perceptions and behaviours can be influenced by the implicit stereotypes they hold, even if they are unaware and intentionally hold such stereotypes. Implicit bias is an aspect of implicit social cognition, the phenomenon that perceptions, attitudes and stereotypes operate without conscious intention. The existence of implicit bias is supported by a variety of scientific articles in psychological literature. Implicit stereotypes was first defined by psychologist Mahazini Banje and Anthony Greenwald in 1995. I think that might be one publication. Okay. Thanks a lot. My poor brain has actually forgotten most of that article. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.